This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This week on the Live Feed, we feature the local Primitive Blues Band. Members Aaron Rikus on drums and guitarist-singer Eli Glore pay homage to the roots of all rock and roll by putting their own spin on the classic blues. The two are longtime friends and have a certain musical chemistry. We kind of exist in spontaneity, says Glore. The guys play at Ed's No Name Bar in downtown Winona. All right, this is Anna Flores, and you're listening to the Live Feed. We're sitting down with the Primitive Blues Band.
Hi, I'm Eli. I sing and play guitar.
I'm Aaron. I play the drums.
Great. How did you guys get into music? When did you realize you were really musical?
I guess maybe when I was like 12 or 13. It was the product of like living in the middle of nowhere and being really bored and my mom having a guitar laying around the house. And then I started playing bass when I was in high school, like jazz bass, and then started to write songs and then switched over back to electric guitar, and then it's just been crazy since then.
What about you?
My mom made me like take piano lessons when I was a little kid, and the school that I went to, you had to take 2 years piano to play the drums, and I always wanted to play them. So I played drums like all throughout middle school and high school, but I picked up guitar on my own when I was probably 13, so. And that just led me to play like mandolin and banjo and a bunch of different kinds of instruments.
What was the first album you ever bought and or received?
The first album I ever bought was Slippery When Wet by Bon Jovi. Because my mom listened to it all the time when we were hanging out doing stuff. I don't know, she liked really weird music. But I don't know, when I was 5, 6, all I listened to was what my parents listened to, which was my mom would listen to Cyndi Lauper and Amy Grant and Bon Jovi and John Mellencamp, and my dad listened to Rush and Led Zeppelin and all that stuff.
Rush.
But I was always a mama's boy, so I just bought the Bon Jovi tape and listened to it, my little dinky Fisher-Price tape player all the time.
Nice.
I think the first thing I bought was maybe AC/DC's Back in Black on tape. I remember the first CD I ever bought was Metallica's Black Album. I would rifle through my dad's tape collection when I was, I mean, I still do. Sorry, Dad. But I think the first music I remember ever having a big impact was Bob Marley. I listened to a lot of blues and a lot of reggae growing up. Like, so, yeah, probably Marley's. It was all on one tape. That's what I remember.
The first album that ever influenced me was probably Energy by Operation Ivy. I was a 13-year-old skateboarder kid, and they're like a late 80s, early 90s punk ska band. But their lyrics were really political, and I had never heard stuff like that. And when I actually was old enough to like understand them, that kind of blew me away.
Yeah, I really got into an old punk band from the Twin Cities called Husker Du, and I actually met and became friends with their drummer. And that was a huge influence on me. I went from like being an angry little like 13-year-old wanting to try and play like Metallica and Korn and Slipknot and stuff to like embracing simplicity and punk rock and playing really fast and yelling a lot. And that was a big change for me. And then I've calmed back down in my old age.
Do you think that the musical genres kind of have similar elements to them and that you can find the same kind of things within each one? And that's why you like maybe punk rock and blues, which kind of seem like opposite types of music?
Definitely. Like, there's a similar sort of, like, working ethic to, like, a lot of the punk bands that I like who are all DIY. A lot of bands I've seen in Winona, like, at people's basements. These, like, awesome bands from either coast, all over the country, come here, play shows, and it's a lot like blues bands I've seen play, too, who tour, like, 300 days a year. And it's that same kind of raw sound, too. That's what I really like about it.
Well, a lot of the people that like play in basements will put more effort into their music, I think, than bands that have already made it, because they're wanting to just express themselves, and they don't care how many people they're playing for or like what the venue is. They just want to like show people their own music.
Yeah, as long as it's real and it feels good for the band playing and to have a positive reaction. It doesn't matter if it's 5 people in somebody's basement or if you're playing anywhere, First Avenue, it doesn't matter. As long as there's somebody there who's into it, it's going to be awesome and rewarding.
Is that what it's kind of like for you guys when you perform? You're not looking for the big break, you're just looking to have a good time?
Yeah. I mean, the last time we played a show was like in May at an art gallery downtown Mississippi Gypsy on 3rd Street. The last time we played there and like there was nobody inside because it was a really hot summer day and we were kind of loud. But there was a handful of people coming and going, just standing outside, drawing on the sidewalk and listening to us. Time before that, we played at Holtzinger and it was packed. So each time it was a rewarding experience in a different way.
And the show at Holzinger, there was a bunch of people that probably wouldn't normally listen to that kind of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
There's like a benefit for the psychology club or something.
Yeah, we definitely like didn't quite fit in with the rest of the, I don't know. It was fun. It was definitely fun. We saw a lot of different music. But we had, I think, definitely, the first couple bands had a different tune.
Well, they were really mellow and quiet.
Yeah, and the first band that played was an oi punk band, which...
I guess we weren't mellow and quiet.
No.
Yeah. What do you think when people approach you and they find out that you're playing blues music? I mean, maybe it seems like kind of a strange thing for people our age to be doing.
Well, I go over to visit Eli, we'll like grill food or just hang out or whatever, and I'll come over and he'll be sitting on the front steps playing slide guitar on an old acoustic, so I think he definitely has that side to him.
It's what I do now. I spent a long time, like I played in a bunch of different sounding bands, like art rocky bands that were trying to sound like Deftones in a Perfect Circle, and I was in a great instrumental band that was all I wanted to do for like 3 years, and I'd never really sang before, and one day just tinkering around with blues stuff, I sat down and started to sing and it made sense. I didn't have to think about how I was singing. That's kind of just like musical destiny, I guess. So I've just stuck with it and kept refining it.
Okay. How did this band form then? Like, why did you guys decide to start playing together?
We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah.
This town's small enough where it's kind of hard to find musicians that... There's a difference between playing music with people and then playing music with people where you feed off of each other and you can just make stuff up on the spot and it doesn't matter. And every time we've just jammed when we were hanging out at my house or whatever, everything worked perfectly and we didn't have to tell each other what to do. We changed at the same time. I just think we've clicked from the beginning.
Yeah, we haven't played with a set list yet. I think this is going to be like the first time ever we've played with a set list. So that's always made everything interesting too, to just go and do it and that we kind of know what to do intuitively, just feeding off of each other.
Sure.
And playing. And when we started the band, it was a couple of years ago and we were neighbors and then Aaron left town for a while and then Aaron jumped a railroad train and rolled on out of the state. And that's when I started to really focus on playing acoustic blues more. And then when Aaron came back, we started playing again and we're like, oh my God, this is it. This like really works. We need to do it. And it's been on and off because of job schedules, but we seem to always make it work and always have enough time to pull everything together before a show and make sure everything's going to sound good.
Somehow.
What do you guys think of the Winona music scene?
It was better when there was more than like two venues. Seeing all the different bars that used to be Rascals and all the other different ones, like that was the one place in town that was like a real venue, and now it's gone and it's going to be something else. And I heard that the stage got ripped out, so I mean
I think they put a wall up or something.
Yeah, so you've got like Ed's, which I think is pretty much the only stage bar in town that like has an open venue regularly.
Yeah,
I mean, there's that in the Acoustic Cafe. It works, though. People are still coming to play here, and here it's a good town. And I also think there's a lot of people in town and a lot of bands in town that are just doing their own thing and aren't quite on the same wavelength yet and maybe aren't aware of each other yet.
I definitely like seeing like the diversity of music that comes through Winona. I mean, you can go to Ed's and he'll have a bluegrass band one time and like a punk band the next, and then ska band, 80s band. Like, I'm kind of hoping, though, that because there's limited venues in town, that more DIY shows start happening.
Yeah, happening again. I remember there was a time a couple of years ago where there was a Holzinger show every other weekend. That was like when I first met Aaron. But, you know, scenes change and bands come and go, and I think things are on an upswing again. Like, I know more and more people who are starting projects and are going to be playing together more. And I think the more diverse bands at a show, the better, just like Aaron said. And I would love to play with everybody out there. If you have a band, let's put a show together. It'll be great. I want to play music live. It's the best thing in the world.
Like your birthday.
Yeah, I heard your first performance at Ed's. Was that what it was?
Oh, yeah. Wow, that was interesting.
I was playing Sober Driver for Eli because it was his birthday and everything.
Yeah, I worked a long day that day, too. And it was just like, okay, well, it's my birthday and living off of Mountain Dew. But yeah, we just went to Ed's and our friends Action Jackson and Eli Beach were playing. And we were like, hey, it's my birthday. Let me play a song. And maybe it was a little... you know, it was my birthday. So we got on and just, like, plowed through a tune. And from what I remember people telling me, we left a lot of people dropped.
They made us play another song. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it just kind of happened. It was on a whim.
It was Eli's drunken birthday whim.
Yeah. But, I mean, we kind of exist in spontaneity anyway. Like, that was always the fun of playing with no set list, too. I know that's something that, like, the White Stripes, like, never play with a set list. Not to copy them, but I understand the fun. Like, yeah, okay, like, to look over at Aaron and be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then play two chords and Aaron knows the song and we just
lurch into it. Well, the funny thing is when he just starts, he has no clue that I really have no clue what's going on. But I just play.
It's just that good.
Well, that's good, though. You guys can have, like, that, you know, that silent conversation where you guys are on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of get the same vibe from each other. That's, I think, what's important about being in a band. Instead of just, you know, playing the notes and playing what we agreed on playing.
Yeah, there's...
I mean, our songs, normally if we play them, it might be 3 minutes long, and then when we play live, it might be like six.
Yeah, it depends on, like, how into a break we get, or occasionally I lose place with what I'm doing, and I have to, like... go oh no and like try and put things back together while I'm still playing. It happens. I get excited, but we make it work and we make it sound good, and I think it's just a sign that we work together well and we're a good band that we can just do that.
So do you guys play your own songs, or do you play like the classic old blues songs, or maybe both, or
it's a mix. Like we're gonna play like 4 or 5 of my original tunes tonight. Our original tunes. I mean, some of them I wrote as solo, like acoustic blues pieces. And we play some old covers, Sun House, Charlie Patton, Lead Belly, and then a couple of White Stripes tunes, a couple of Black Keys tunes. We've practiced Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones a couple times, but like it's too hard for me to play it and sing the right way at the same time, so probably not that one tonight.
So how is this blues different than what you'd think blues would be?
Well, it's two white kids in their mid-20s. That's one thing, I guess.
Is it a heavier sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bigger. It's Zeppelin-y.
If you heard
sometimes.
The originals to the old songs that we play, it'd just be like acoustic, like, oh, no.
Like, yeah, like completely, they're completely different animals. But, like, I think it stays true to the, like, the emotional impact of the song. Like, that's what I like to do when I decide to do something like Stop Breaking Down by Robert Johnson. The original version is this really neat-picked acoustic guitar thing, and we play it as a little bit more brash, and I play slide on it, too, which is a great sound. It's something I discovered when I was in high school, kind of by accident, kind of just goofing around with the guitar, and figuring out I can make this weird sound with a screwdriver, you know. And then I learned more about the blues because I grew up listening to it. My dad listened to a lot of blues, and it's like, oh yeah, like slide guitar. I was like, oh okay, slide guitar, cool. I cut off a piece of copper pipe and started playing with it, and it started to make sense. And that in and of itself too, as electric guitar music, is kind of different. Like a lot of electric guitar players don't play slide and don't play slide like I do.
Can you describe for us what the slide guitar is?
Well, it's a guitar, like a regular 6-string guitar, and you play it with a slide. I have one in my pocket right here. It's like a little tiny bottle.
Uh-huh. right.
like an old medicine bottle or a piece of copper pipe, and you tune the guitar to an open tuning so that all six strings play a chord. And then you just press the piece of whatever on the strings, and then you slide it up and down. And it makes a really distinct sound, kind of like mimics the human voice a little bit, like a whale. And you make it scream, or you can make it this kind of spooky, swampy, guttural sound. I don't know, come out and see it. Or, well, I don't know, we gotta try and record.
We'll have some later. What would you like your audience to take away from your performances?
Hopefully not too bad of a headache. I don't know, I just think that we have some kind of impact. Like, one of our songs gets stuck in their head the next day, they can't get it out. In a good way, not in a, oh my god, I can't believe I can't get that song out of my head way. Like, or just to come away with some sort of reaction. Either you liked it or you didn't, but some sort of reaction.
Some strong reaction in one direction.
Whether it's an emotional response or whatever.
I could care less if they like the music at all. I just want them to be able to tell that we're into the music, and they can tell that we're putting like ourselves into it. If they hate it, I don't care. But if they like it, it's better.
But who knows what will happen next, right?
Oh god, who knows? Like, there's still people making brand new music that no one's ever heard before.
Can you imagine? Things just keep popping up.
Yeah, I was talking with my friend Justin after one of our old band practices, and I was like, you know, the best musician in the world is playing in a basement apartment somewhere in some big city like Singapore, and no one's gonna know about it. The most amazing song ever written is being played, and it will never be recorded, you know?
Well, but it's all the still best songs there. Ever written were already recorded, and it's by Paul Baraboo.
Oh, yeah. Don't even bring that up, man. I would rather listen to the new Against Me records than voluntarily listen to Paul Baraboo.
More for me.
Do you guys have any closing remarks? Things we didn't cover that you want to get out there?
If you like the music you listen to, go back and listen to their influences. And then listen to their influences, influences, and their influences, 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 because everything ends up going right back to the blues. That's what I'm going to say. If you want to know what rock and roll came from, pick up Howlin' Wolf record. John Lee Hooker. It's right there. It's the roots of everything.
I would just say keep supporting local music, because the people definitely appreciate it. And the best music ever is Paul Baraboo.
Whatever.
And he's better than everything he just listed off.
All right, well, that was the Primitive Blues Band, and they'll be playing at Ed's. This is the live feed, and I'm Anna Flores. Thanks for listening.
So I got to tell a little bit of a sad story. It is the blues after all. This Monday, a really, really good friend of mine passed. And today was his funeral. And so this is an old blues song called Death Letter Blues. It was originally written by Sun House. And we'll play this one for Todd, wherever he is. Yes, I hurry, hurry. Oh, you know your good friend is dead. I bent up my suitcase, took off down the road. Down the road, down the road. I bent up my suitcase, yeah, took off down the road. When I got there, he was laying on the cool floor. Looked like 10,000, sitting around the very ground. Didn't know he was the man, so they let him down. Yeah, it looked like 10,000 people were standing on the very ground. So many wouldn't think he was a good man until they let him down.
say.
We would like to thank Eli and Aaron for speaking with us and for their performance at EDS. Tune in next Wednesday or Friday evening at 6:30 for another exciting edition of The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.